So Sharon Henney?
Yes?
I was hoping I could ask you a question today. Is that okay?
Yes.
One of the strongest points of my system is how it can really pinpoint the benefits that, or true point of difference benefits that make people want to buy and prioritize them within each segment of the market. But to really add dimension and feeling to those benefits, I think that your ability to get at the emotional reasons that people purchase and to really link them to specific features and functions, I think that that's just critical. And I was hoping I could pick your brain a little bit and get you to talk about it for my listeners.
Pick away.
So, okay. I know that traditionally in marketing research, the qualitative way that people get at underlying emotional motivation is by something called laddering. Could you explain that in English for people?
Sure. By the way, that's not traditional. That is a more advanced technique. And a lot of times when people are doing qualitative research or quantitative research, they're taking a guess at what the features are and talking to people and trying to eke out how the features link to benefits and how the functional benefits lead and link to emotional benefits. A number of years ago, actually a very, very long time ago, probably back in the 60s, Gray Advertising came up with what was called a benefit chain. The benefit chain starts with a particular feature. This is a full-bodied coffee. And then asks, well, what's the benefit of that? And the way they did it back then was they would get two results from that first question. And then they would follow the line of questioning for each part
of the tree. So for example, the benefit of a full-bodied coffee is the flavor lingers in my mouth and the aroma is memorable.
Okay, and so then I would say, okay, good. Well, let's follow one train of thought here. What's the benefit of the flavor lingering in your mouth?
Well, coffee kind of changes my mood. And so lingering in my mouth, the taste lingering in my mouth for like a half an hour afterwards or something, makes me remember the buzz that came with the coffee.
Mm-hmm. And what's another benefit of it lingering in your mouth?
Another one?
Mm-hmm.
Another benefit is that I just like the taste and I just like to be able to savor it.
Okay, so now I'm following another part of the...
So you're asking for two branches for every branch that you get to.
Right.
Okay.
They would end up with 16 twigs at the end.
Okay, so they would take every one of those branches and follow it to its natural conclusion?
Well, what was interesting is that until I formulated the Livingston paradigm of self-esteem, nobody really knew when to end the questioning. And it would just go on and on and on and on. And so the way they did it, they would end up with 16. And whatever those 16 were, that's where they ended. It's a tedious kind of process, particularly when they're doing it that way, the way that I just demonstrated to you, because there are multiple benefits. I think in the 80s, a doctor, psychologist, or sociologist from the University of Texas, Tom Reynolds, brought back the idea and called it laddering. That became very popular for a while. And you remember we were doing a ton of laddering for a bunch of our clients when we first started in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And in observing that, what happens here, you start with a feature, you get a consequence, and you end up with a value, according to Dr. Reynolds. The way we think about it, you start with a feature, you get a benefit, sometimes multiple benefits, that end up with an emotional end benefit that links to, in our understanding of this, one's self-esteem. So you know that you got to the end of the ladder when someone says something like, it raises my self-esteem, I feel confident, I feel good about myself.
Can we go through it for coffee just so that it's illustrated?
Well, why don't we do it for something that you have more heart for, because I know that
I'm not a coffee
you're
drinker.
Not a coffee drinker and it
okay.
Makes sense to you.
Okay, so pick something.
Let's talk about the pair of glasses you're wearing right now.
Okay.
In choosing them, take them off for a moment, take a look at them, if you don't mind.
I can't really see that well without them, but okay.
And tell me one thing about them that helped you choose those frames.
You're going to laugh.
Okay.
They make me look like a geek, and I kind of like that.
What about them makes you look like a geek?
You know, they're just kind of plastic black frames, and it looks like I need them to see, which I kind of do nowadays. And it looks like they go along with a pocket protector. I've got a very bizarre past because my parents wanted me to be a hippie, and I really preferred to be a computer guy. So I consciously choose things that make me look a little bit nerdy sometimes.
Okay, folks, you cannot see my husband at the moment, but I want you to know that that perception
is not at all what those glasses communicate to most people.
I need a new pair of glasses.
Well, I want you to know, I just want you to know, this is a very interesting thing that I just found out about my husband that I didn't know.
Okay.
After all these years of being married to you. Not too long ago, I did a major piece of research on eyeglass frames. And the particular set of frames that he chose are sexy, they look professional and intense. They are anything but geek. I know this look, and I know how they test, and they test for a guy who wants to look up and coming and hot, which is very, very interesting because his perception of them is different than most people. And that's really important, what we just heard here, because you can't assume anything.
Right.
You just can't assume.
Sure.
I would have never known that. So let's do the latter, just for the heck of it. If you want to look geeky, we're going to have to get you a different pair of glasses.
Okay.
I'm, like, blown away the way you see this. Okay. So, in your mind, and I've already tainted this because I interpreted for you folks, but in your mind, let's pretend we didn't have the other conversation. What's a benefit of black-framed glasses? What's one benefit?
Looks geeky.
What's a benefit to you that they look geeky?
Get to enjoy my life. The one part of my life that I like, working on the computer.
What's a benefit of enjoying working on the computer?
When I was a boy, I was encouraged to play in a rock and roll band, and I didn't really want to play in a rock and roll band. I wanted to have a computer. But they asked me to grow my hair long and play in a rock and roll band. And it's really my false self. I was good, I guess. I mean, I got a little somewhere with it, but it's really my false self. I much prefer the numbers and the program and the structure and
what's
putting
the
it all together. And
of putting together numbers and programs and structure?
Well, I think the world is built on structure, isn't it? It's built on structure with heart and passion to fill in the gaps. And I definitely want that also in my life. But, you know, every now and then I would be walking through Central Park and I would look up at the contrast of the skyscrapers against the jungle, basically, in Central Park. Now it's a fairly well-manicured forest. But I would say to myself, I'm breathing the fresh air and I'm enjoying nature. But the truth is, look at everything that man can accomplish when they work together and coordinate things. And, you know, that's not something that one person could do alone. Someone had to help coordinate that through a very clear structure, and so
he's making me work hard to find the piece in here. Usually when you do this with a respondent,
better if they've got a difficult example.
Right. What I heard in there was a benefit was accomplishment. Mm-hmm. What's the benefit of accomplishment?
It makes me feel better about myself.
There you go.
Okay.
So the emotional end benefit is the thing right before it makes me feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that led up to accomplishment.
Right.
And accomplishment is in one of the four categories in the pillars of self-esteem that we've identified.
I'm going to ask you about that in a second,
mm-hmm.
but I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. Assuming that we had surveyed a vision care market for people that needed to choose glass frames, let's say that the geeky-looking plastic frames came out as a major benefit that we needed to focus on, and then you found in your interviewing that that laddered up to accomplishment. Now, does that mean you would build the mood and tone of your advertising all around
accomplishment?
Okay.
And the reason being, and we'll talk about this in a moment, categories one and two are highly charged things that make us want to try. They lead to trial. Categories three and four lead to repeat. Categories one and two are the things that get us all excited. Categories three and four are the things that we should do. They lead to repeat. Those are tradition in the world and being a good parent and giving back to society. Categories one and two are about I am me. And category one is what we call healthy narcissism. People hear the word narcissism and usually think of it as a negative, but there's a healthy form of narcissism that we talk about in psychology where people are involved with self in an appropriate kind of way. It's kind of the part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs where you're becoming who you want to become. And part of that is accomplishment. Sometimes part of that is being creative. Part of that is being healthy. Part of that is having a sense of freedom. Part of it's being in control. Part of it's integrity. There are a whole bunch of different values or emotional and benefits, we use those interchangeably, that are the step right before self-esteem or makes me feel better about myself that can be leveraged in mood and tone. And in this case, it was accomplishment.
Gotcha.
Accomplishment was attached to the black frames. Now, if you were someone else, like I had interviewed, it might have led up to, I'm going to get some hugs and kisses from my girlfriend. And that's category two, which is love sex, because they're such hot-looking frames. I'm going to be this sexy dude.
So when you're digging for the emotional benefits using laddering, are you ideally hoping to find that there are some highly charging emotions that
create trial?
I see. But you also want to link it to some of the more grounded category three and four emotions.
Category three has to do with nurturance, taking care of others, taking care of family, being a good dad, being a good boss.
But now you can't force this though.
Like, no.
I don't consciously associate any of those things with my geeky pair of glasses.
And category four is giving back to society.
I see.
Now, the fact that they're plastic, you might see as that you're going to use them over and over and over again. They won't break, so that somebody might say they are taking care of society in a sense.
You'd have to dig to find that, though.
You have to do the latter on all the different aspects.
What if it's not there? Is there always some?
It's always there.
Really?
It's always there.
So for any product with any rational benefit, like a pair of glass frames, you can always dig to find
an emotional component. Because that's who we are. We're a combination of, you know, we have a heart and a head.
I totally believe and perceive that there's always an emotional benefit behind every function. But it's actually kind of new to me, the way that you're describing this now, to think that behind every desire for a product, is there always emotion from each of the four categories?
No.
Okay.
No, not in a given person. When you do a survey or qualitative investigation of your different granular aspects. I mean, that's why this was so fascinating, because you are probably in the minority in the way you perceive that particular frame.
Sure.
And I happen to know that only because I happen to have worked in the category.
Right. So it would be very obvious that I would require a separate sales segment.
Yeah, you need a different sales letter.
Yeah.
Isn't that fabulous? For example, because a lot of people would think of those glasses as being trendy and sexy, you could be writing a sales letter, you know, with a trendy, sexy feel to it, like, you know, a professional guy with his hair slicked back and black hair, black lenses, wearing a suit, and, you know, maybe there's a girl in the background or whatever. You'd be making the statement about these glasses give you excellent vision, it's very clear, they're non-breakable, and you can be saying all kinds of stuff about them that you would figure out from your investigation, but knowing that they ladder up to love sex, you'd make it a sexy ad.
Cool. Okay, so let's break down the technique for people. So you start with a...
You start with a function, feature.
Okay.
If you already have done enough work in your category that you know what the benefits are, I'm not sure about that.
Well, so for example, since the people listening to this will probably have been using the, you know, Livingston model of survey research, they're going to come out of it with a list of desired features and functions in consumer language in priority order. For example, let's say that this was vision care, they might find out that people are looking for flexible frames that don't hurt their nose.
So flexible frames that are comfortable.
Right, a variety of colors.
Okay.
Okay, and maybe financing options.
Okay, and what's the question?
Well, the question is, if the survey comes back and they see that there's clearly a segment in that order of priority wants flexible frames, lightweight frames that don't hurt their nose, I want you to break down the procedure so that people can...
You start with the flexible frames.
Because that's the feature.
Right.
That's the desired feature.
And you ask, what's the benefit of that? You keep asking, what's the benefit, what's the benefit, what's the benefit, what's the benefit, until finally the person says, all right, already, it makes me feel better about myself, or it raises my self-esteem, or I like myself more. And this is something that you put into words for me a long time ago that I just love. An emotional end benefit from a product or a service is something that I can feel about myself that I like to feel because I buy your product.
Something nice I can say about myself because I buy your product.
It's really a feeling because it's emotional end benefit. Mm-hmm. It's something nice I can feel about myself. Mm-hmm. I can feel accomplished because they're black frames. Mm-hmm. Or if we did it with flexible, it might take us someplace else. It might take us to I feel free, and that makes me feel better about myself. You know, I can spread my wings and fly, and they fling out of my pocket, they're not going to break. Or I can fold them up and stick them in a real small thing. I don't know what you meant by flexible exactly. But there's something else. Language is just so fascinating. You get to identify specifically what people mean when they say something. Like, you just made that up, flexible frames.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure I understood what you meant.
Right. That's why it's so important to do the qualitative part of the process.
Right. Like in the other interview that we had, we were talking about probing and clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible would have been something I would have clarified because I wasn't sure that I really knew exactly what you meant by flexible.
Gotcha. So let's do one or two more examples. I find that that's really what's most helpful to people.
Okay.
Tell me something that you've recently purchased that you're very happy about. You came home today with that new coat. Want to talk about that?
I also came home with a hands-free can opener that you haven't seen yet.
Okay. Describe the can opener for me.
Basically, it's battery-operated, and then it has a fairly long life from the couple AA batteries. You put it on top of the can, it opens the can itself, and all you do is you lift it up, and the lid comes off, and you just slip it off, and you never have to touch the can.
Cool. Why did you pick that particular can opener?
Because it's automatic. It does it itself.
What's the benefit of it doing it itself?
I don't have to wind that handle. Sometimes it hurts my hands.
I see. And what's the benefit of you not having to wind the handle?
Taking care of stuff a little bit more fun.
I see. And what's the benefit of having more fun when you take care of stuff?
I feel more lighthearted about my work.
I see. And what's good about feeling lighthearted about your work?
I enjoy my life more.
And what's the benefit of enjoying your life more?
I feel good about myself.
Okay. The emotional benefits that I heard were really the lightheartedness and fun.
Right.
Okay. Makes me feel lighthearted and fun.
Right.
I would look to develop an emotional mood and tone of lightheartedness and fun as I was advertising the automatic function of the can opener.
For me?
Yeah.
Somebody else might have said it lets me be more productive.
Right. These are conclusions that you have to reach on an actuarial basis. You really have to look at the whole market and...
Right. You have to do your homework.
Yeah. You're going to do 20 or 30 interviews and figure this out.
And you'll see there are segments. There might be a segment like me that's fun.
What we always say is when you do the survey research first, the segments can be clarified in terms of the conversations they're having in their head and the priority of the benefits that they want. So the segments come out quantitatively, and then when you ask them to flesh out the reason for the segments, that's when you really find out what the segments look like. I always find that I'm done with the research when I've got a very clear picture in my head, and I can almost smell the person that represents that segment.
I hope that's not too unpleasant most times.
So I think we demonstrated laddering relatively well here. I just want to make sure I frame this so that everybody's following it, because this is 20 years of theory that you've kind of put together.
Okay.
What you're saying is that every desired product feature leads up to a rational benefit, and that rational benefit always leads up to some emotional benefit, and that emotional benefit can be placed into one of four categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to recognize which of the categories they're in, because category one and two tend to be very exciting and create trial, but it's difficult to build a business solely on that. Whereas categories...
You might not get repeat.
Right.
And categories three and four, which are nurturance and giving back to society or altruism.
So walk me through each category.
Category one is healthy narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, I'm creative, I like to have fun, I have integrity, I'm productive, I accomplish, I'm financially successful, I have freedom, I'm in control. There's a bunch of those like that. I have to give you an example that was just so fascinating. We did work for Altres a number of years ago, remember?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows the Altres packaging, you don't see the woman's face. You see the back of her head. She's got this glorious high-color, high-gloss hair. As compared to Nice and Easy, where you see a woman looking at you, the girl from Seinfeld.
Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Julia Louise Dreyfus, okay. They used her a number of years ago. She's like the girl next door, and she's got this big smile. You know, you look at her, and you feel like she's looking at you. But both Altres and Nice and Easy, both made by Clairol, both ladder up to attractive, but it's a different kind of attractive. Just so fascinating. Attractive for Altres is, I'm attractive and to hell with you. You know, it's like kind of eat my dust.
Mm-hmm.
Attractive with Nice and Easy is, I'm attractive and the men in my life are going to love me.
Interesting.
Totally different. The women in the Altres group who used Altres were proud to be bitchy.
So what that really says is that feeling attractive is not really the ultimate end benefit. In the two examples you gave...
It's being empowered.
It's being empowered and being loved is the second one.
Yes.
Interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
Because that's kind of a trap that people can get into when they hear people say feel attractive.
Yeah.
This has been great.
Category two is love, sex. And those are the kinds of things that lead to I feel good about myself because I'm attracted to the one that I love or the one that I want to love me. For example, the glimmer on a pair of pantyhose when we did so much work for legs makes a woman feel like the men in her life are looking at her legs and they're going to value her because her legs look so pretty, and then she feels like the men that she wants will want her, and that ups her value to herself and makes her feel good about herself because her legs are pretty. Category three is about nurturance. I feel good about myself because I'm a good mother, I'm a good dog owner, I'm a good boss, I'm a good dad, I'm a good caretaker in some way. And the kinds of things that lead up to that very often are things like save time, save money. So what's the benefit of saving time? I get to spend more time with my kids. What's the benefit of that? We go to Disneyland. What's the benefit of that? They have fun. What's the benefit of that? They really appreciate me as a mother and they love me. Save money. What's the benefit of saving money? And this is an important one because lots of times we're selling saving money.
And also, a lot of marketers are blinded by that because they think that money is a commodity and they don't realize that it means different things emotionally to different people.
So I save money. What's the benefit of that? I can buy things I really want. What's the benefit of that? I can get that Ferrari I always wanted. They'll save 2 cents and jump to a Ferrari. That would be category two.
Got it.
Okay. But saving money might also go to, I can take the kids to the movies. What's the benefit of that? Again, mother appreciation.
I see. So you really have to follow it up.
Yeah. You
really
need to know what that means.
Okay.
This product is not disposable. What's the benefit of that? It doesn't add to the landfill. What's the benefit of that? I'm being a conscientious citizen. What's the benefit of that? I'm giving back to the world. I feel good about myself.
Got it.
That's category four.
Gotcha.
Now, being a good mom and giving back to society are really wonderful things, but they don't get us all excited. They're the things we should do. We know we should do them. And they do get repeat. To give you an example of that, in the pantyhose category, they were selling these real thin, shiny, glimmery, sexy-looking stockings, but they would run like crazy. So women were spending like $7 to $15 to $20 on a pair of pantyhose, and they would run. Back in the 90s, tights became very popular, and women started wearing them for dress. And the people like Sara Lee Hosiery and Burlington were selling them at the same price they were selling pantyhose. But they didn't run. They lasted sometimes for a year, maybe more. You could wash them and wear them and wash them and wear them. And the stylists like Donna Karan and the high stylists figured out how to make them a fashion statement, and the pantyhose industry went down the tubes. Because in addition to having the sex appeal, the whole category two, and the attractive for category one, I feel confident in myself because I look attractive, they also were saving money, and that got repeat. And regular stockings, the thin, sheer stuff.
Interesting. I got it. I understand.
Died.
I understand. Very cool.
I mean, we saw whole market research departments close down because they couldn't afford to do that work anymore.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your time and attention. If you'd like to find out more about the comprehensive marketing research system I've used to succeed in market after market, please visit howtodoubleyourbusiness.com. That's howtodoubleyourbusiness.com.